knowledge. Today we're going to have a fascinating discussion about the much talked about film, The Passion of the Christ. We're webcasting so listeners can point friends who are beyond our airwaves to WVCR.com for access on the internet. That's WVCR.com. Film is a most complex art form. Filmmaker Jean-Luc Godard said, "Photography is truth, and cinema is truth at 24 frames a second." Meaning, cinema shapes reality via a string of images and sounds and editing. A film is a representation of life, and moviegoers often view without analyzing the movement or process leading to their interpretation of a film. On today's News and Views, we'll examine a very powerful film, The Passion of the Christ, debuted as a top-grossing film in the U.S. Audiences continue to flock to theaters as Christian Holy Week approaches. What are people seeing? A religious film, an historical film, an artistic film, an aesthetic film. Aesthetics. That is, how an artist has set up signs we interpret. This radio program will explore the Passion of the Christ through lens of art, which will assist moviegoers in appreciating the film. With us today are Dr. Patricia Trudy Kuhil, an art historian at Siena College, and Dr. Mahmoud Karimi Hakak, a filmmaker working in the theater department at Siena. And we'll be joined later by Greg Zotowski, who is a visual artist and a professor of creative arts here at Siena College. Welcome, Dr. Trudy Kuhil and Dr. Karimi Hakak.
Thank you.
Filmmaker Mel Gibson was asked what headline he'd like to see after this film opened, and he replied, "War ends." How might the aesthetics of the film cooperate with that reply? And let's define aesthetics.
Aesthetics is sometimes defined as the study of beauty. It can be also defined as the way in which truth is presented in a way most easily and most efficiently comprehended by us humans. Is that sufficient enough for you, Father?
Sure. How about Mahmoud?
The definition of beauty is aesthetics. That's true. However, you must remember that beauty is always in the eye of the beholder. So the aesthetics is judged by the audience, not by the filmmaker himself.
Mm. Okay. Describe some of the ways in which the film engages the audience. Let's start at the beginning, in the garden, with the blue fog and shadows rustling brushes or bushes. And then there were the voices, Aramaic and Latin.
Oh, I'd love to speak to that. First of all, I think one of the great genius moves that Mel Gibson made was to use the Aramaic and the Latin. The text of the story is so well known that it becomes a cliche, and to hear those words said in English would probably set the audience off what the film means, because we get to read them again as in the sort of means we normally know them, and then we hear them spoken in a human voice, in a voice of the past. The movie comes across, the scenery comes across as a re-envisionment of the past. And that was a genius stroke on Gibson's part. And then there's the matter of the blue that opens the first scene. This, to me, is again another mark of a great composition. Blue in film is a code for night or for darkness or for sadness. Or for tragedy, it has that weighty quality. By filling the whole landscape with blue fog, what he does is give us no place to rest. So therefore, as the camera moves and we move with it, we have no home. We only encounter a home when we meet the person of Jesus. Therefore, we set our stability in that figure of Christ right in that opening scene, and it stays with him throughout the film. Without the blue fog, without the movement of a camera through an indefinite space, we wouldn't be resting in Christ.
Mahmoud, do you want to describe some other ways In which the film engages the audience.
Yes, also what Gibson does is he starts with close-ups. He rarely uses medium shots or really rarely uses long shots. That way he brings the audience into the story. That along with the fact that we have to read the story as opposed to listen to it allows us to focus on the suffering, which is the theme of the play, which somehow relates to what Gibson says at the end, war ends, after the film is finished, brings us right to our own social standing, our own society, where we are in history and in society. We are in the film through that close-up. We are in a dark space through the use of the blue fog. And we are also, we have to read, just like you read the news through print, medium in print. And all of these makes us both focus on the story as well as communicate with our contemporary events.
Mm. Yeah, and it makes us work. Mm-hmm. And that is a part of getting us into the film. Only by giving ourselves to it can we get something out of it.
How about the music? I noticed the music, but there were also moments where sound effects furthered the exposition. For example, when Christ dropped the cross, we heard a huge thud. It brought across how heavy the cross really was. Do you want to say something about that, the sound effects?
We are a part of this film. We are not separated. As audience, we are not separated from the film. And imagine if that cross is falling on our head like the bombs fall on people's head in Iraq. We really feel that a lot more. We feel it inside ourselves and with much more intensity than we would if we were to sit out as an observer like what we did with the war in Iraq on Fox TV. Mm.
Also because we're not listening to a language, we're listening to the music of a language, but we're not hearing the words, we're not understanding the words of the language. Those things that we understand, the sounds, become much sharper and much more real to us than they would be if we were listening to the dialogue in English.
Okay,
which would distract from the sound.
A key message in The Passion is this: the greatest love one can have for his or her friends is that one gives one's life for them. Christ was repeatedly scourged, but bore it, did what he had to do. How do you react to the violence in the film, Pat, and then Mahmoud?
I was surprised when I saw the film. I had expected a terrible amount of violence, but there was violence, but it didn't seem to me ever over the top, except when the crow pecked the bad thief's eyes out. That one was a little beyond me. But other than that, it was appropriate to the story.
Mahmoud?
As Pat said, the violence is really not that violent. We have seen films that are a lot more violent than that. And also the fact that, yes, the greatest love is to give one's life for one's people. And that's what we have been hearing lately in all over the world. However, there is a big difference. I think what Gibson is trying to do in here is makes us not only re-examine our understanding and our belief in the greatest love, whatever that is, giving one's life for others, but also reevaluate that. Think of it that it could be misused within a society. Mm. And we come out of the film judging for ourselves whether or not this was misused by the society crucified Christ or not.
Mm. And what's more, I don't know that the greatest message is the love that we have. That's one of the messages. For me, the greatest message was forgiveness. Mm. And that would end all war.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mel Gibson describes the flashback moments, you know, Jesus in his first years, as escape hatches from the intensity of the film. But I found them to be more part of a montage. For example, we see Christ facing the blood-spattered feet of a soldier, and then Christ washing the feet of his disciples. As people experience the film, Christ being tortured and the persistent prayers and forgiveness, they seem truly moved. Do you perceive that montage effect in the film?
Well, it is a montage. through the graphic matches, notice that it's feet to feet in the moon sets off the image of Peter and the image of Pilate. There are a lot of matches there. And that's what gives you the connection that you have for a montage. There's a device, a filmic device that's used.
Okay, so, yeah. Mahmoud?
That's true. It is the montage through graphic matches, but it goes beyond that. It goes even further through montage in a sense of one's remembrance, one's inner feelings for an event. You know, the example you gave from the splash of blood to washing a disciple's foot is a great example that makes us remember what happens to our enemies, and perhaps that reminds us of what we have done to our friends.
One of the things I'd like to just pick up on, Pat mentioned that one message was forgiveness. War ends when we forgive. I'm thinking in particular of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and how that seems to be escalating. The violence seems to be escalating, and forgiveness might end that war. And maybe that's the message that Mel Gibson is trying to communicate to us.
Well, that's the message that Christ has been trying to communicate to us for 2,000 years, and we haven't heard it yet.
Right.
Let's hope that we hear it through.
And it took that kind of sacrifice to make it apparent. So I don't know that we're ready to make that kind of
sacrifice. Let me go on to Mary, who's a central figure here. Did you perceive Mary as a role model? It seemed, you know, women, for example, were portrayed as sympathetic to the Christ and reached out with their hearts. Mahmoud, I remember you wrote recently about the play Iphigenia, set in ancient Greece. The women, their mothers, their sisters, their wives, they cried. Did you think of that? And I wonder how the Passion compares to women's roles in the Middle East, for example, in that place and time.
Well, I should say that I think Mel Gibson stole the idea from me, but I think it is it's apparent that Gibson does not give any lines to Mary to speak. There is really all we see is endurance in this woman. And to me, the role of the woman in that film goes way beyond a human being. It goes to the motherland. It goes to what we perceive as our own, as from where we come from. And in that sense, there is tremendous amount of endurance that the Middle East, for example, has endured throughout history, throughout the past 2,000 years and beyond. And as such, this character who carries the weight of the world on her shoulders keeps everything silent and sympathetic, and we really, really end up loving that person.
Good. Pat, what do you think of the role of Mary?
This humanity of Christ is stressed in the role of Mary, the connection between the mother and the son. This is an old theme in Christian art. Most famous is Michelangelo's Pietà, the loyalty of the mother to the son. But I also think it helps in the mode of memory, because you're into the figure of Christ, that you actually feel that flashback is your memory as well as just his, and it connects you more closely with the figure of Christ, and that adds to the power of the whole Passion.
Mm. And I want to add one other thing. Sure. Talking about loyalty, I think the amount of sympathy that we see among women themselves, the relationship that women have, is fantastic in that film, and their understanding of the plight of Christ.
One final point. I was talking to an African American in an interview we had after the showing of the film, and he said he could relate to the Jewish people being oppressed and treated poorly by the Romans the way he can relate to the signs of slavery in his own heritage. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think men have been cruel to one another for a long time.
And
it's time for forgiveness.
Right. And I think that's what struck me, was man's inhumanity to man. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. When we return to our discussion about the Passion of the Christ, We'll hear more from Dr. Patricia Trudy Kuhil and Dr. Mahmoud Karimi Hakak, and we'll be joined by artist Greg Zlotowski. Stay tuned for more news and views.